I'd love to just welcome everyone to tonight's Core Volunteer Training. It's a weekly webinar series on citizens climate lobbies that specifically gears to new or newish volunteers. They help you feel connected to others throughout the larger network and gain relevant climate advocacy skills. And tonight is part of our lobby training series gearing up for our big June 2020 Lobby Day events. And so tonight we have the opportunity to really practice and learn how to put into practice planning to meet with your member of Congress this year for our online lobby meetings. We're going to have the wonderful Amy Bennett join us, CCL's Congressional Director of Liaisons and Lobby Days, for an online training that's going to walk you through important considerations for preparing to meet and really look at what an actual meeting with your member of Congress looks like. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and I do want to thank you before introducing Amy for taking the time to join us tonight. As Director of Congressional Liaisons and Lobby Days, Amy's whole goal is providing training and support for you and our volunteer liaisons as they build relationships with congressional offices and help representatives move up that ladder of support for effective legislation on climate. She's responsible for organizing our lobby days in DC normally, this year virtually, including mentoring our liaisons on how to schedule and organize congressional meetings and really help maintain productive dialogue throughout the year. So we're really appreciative and thank you for joining us tonight here too, Amy. And if we've done our job well, you're going to have the chance tonight after the end of this to really understand the planning process behind how we prepare a meeting with Congress or their staff, really help demonstrate what a respect-based relational meeting looks and sounds like, including some key questions and listening techniques to include, and really be able to jump into preparing your own meeting planning and feel confident in knowing where to go for that support and tools that you're looking for. So to do that, what we're going to do is really do a quick review of the importance of building relationships. Amy's going to review our meeting roles and have a chance to really introduce our meeting format for really what it looks like for a standard meeting. I'm going to review really quick some details about this year that are unique to 2020, given that we're online. We'll have a chance then to talk about what this looks like with a role play. So I'm going to be putting on my member of Congress pin and demonstrating what that might look like as a mock member. And before I pass it to Amy, I did just want to highlight on one other slide. This is just a list of all of the trainings that we have available gearing up for Lobby Day. By no means are you expected to take any others, but we do encourage the two that are listed here in green. If you're going to take or make time for any others, you know, these are the two that our director, our vice president of government affairs is really going to lead and really handle a lot of the questions for people that are planning on attending a lobby meeting. All of these are at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and I'll put a link to a place in community where you can find the link to all of these available, really, where you can RSVP for any or find out more information about any in particular. But just wanted to highlight that we do have a whole series leading up here, and we are actually rolling out a more interactive format. And so if you're interested, as these come online, a lot of them are going to have a bit more of a new look and feel, especially for that training page on community that Tamara, one of our co-hosts tonight, is really the mastermind behind implementing. So a little uplift for her too. So with that though, I am going to pass it to Amy and I'll be fielding questions in chat. So feel free to keep asking me anything. But Amy's going to start by reviewing some key concepts and the meeting roles that we covered really early on to get us up to speed on planning your congressional meeting and highlighting what that might look like.
Thank you so much, Brett. So first, our review. What's our goal in meeting with a member of Congress? Well, we want to build relationships with them and move your member of Congress up the ladder of support for being a climate champion. And how do we do that? That's with respect and appreciation, appealing for the best in others, and being for something. And what's our approach? Finding common ground and building bridges three ways: through shared values, social connections, and places that we care about. And CCL is very much grounded in one rule, and that is to treat everyone, even those we disagree with respect, appreciation, and gratitude. So What are the nuts and bolts of lobby team roles? So I saw a bunch of people said, hey, I want to be in a lobby meeting. What does that look like? To begin with, the central role for each of our meetings with members of Congress is the leader of the meeting of the lobby team. That's the member who empowers everyone else to share and participate, especially the constituents, so that we can build capacity for this work. The leader might also facilitate transitions in the agenda. That's going to be really important in virtual meetings because we can't kick each other under the table, right? We have to pass things off to each other. So if the leader doesn't happen to be the liaisons, the leader's responsible for briefing the liaison after the meeting about what happened in the meeting. The leader also assigns the roles for the meeting. And an analogy that might be useful for you here is that of a conductor. The CCL team leader is there to manage the meeting, but not to dominate the meeting. The leader's not necessarily the one that talks the most, but the leader's the one that empowers everybody to share and participate, again, especially the constituents, because that's who the member of Congress is going to listen the most to. And the leader may be the one who is in charge of handling transitions in between different parts of the meeting. They may help keep the conversation on track or redirect it, and they might help wrap things up. The leader will help set up the team and have them settle on collaborate and help them set up on a supporting ask for the meeting and make sure everyone's on the same page with those meeting goals and that supporting ask. So depending on the size of the lobby team, any individual might fill multiple roles. Everyone's encouraged to participate in the discussion, but again, give deference to the constituents. There's the appreciator. The lobby team member shows appreciation for something the member of Congress has recently accomplished. And again, if possible, this might be the constituent, especially during this COVID crisis. It might be thanking them for their part in a stimulus package, something like that. Then there's the time monitor. And that's the person who keeps the meeting on time. They're going to ask at the beginning how much time we have. They're also going to be watching and monitoring how much time the member of Congress or the member staffer speaks versus the CCLers. Our goal is a 50-50 percentage there. Then there's the note taker or the minute taker, and that person will take notes, and if possible, it's helpful to be experienced so you know what to listen for. And that person should be able to follow the thread of the conversation, especially capturing what the member said or what the member staffer said. And then on the very same day of the meeting, the note taker types that up and submits them on a form online. Then there's the discussion. And all lobby team members are encouraged to participate. And then again, the constituent is usually able to offer some specifics, you know, in terms of the location, in terms of the district. Then there's the asker, person who presents our official ask. And then the constituent usually does that ask as well. And they should have a strong grasp of our policy and its wider implications and its ripple effects in the district. The asker leaves the one-page primary behind. Then there's the what we refer to as the deliverer, the person who's responsible for bringing any constituent letters, postcards, or sharing endorsements. And that can, the endorsement part of that could be done online in a virtual meeting. Then there's the follow-up. This is the person who's going to send any follow-up materials that is requested in the meeting and a thank you card. And the person, if the person doing the follow-up isn't the liaison, they should be sure to coordinate and make sure the liaison knows that that document was sent or the thank you note was sent, just so the liaison knows that it's been done. Then there's the photographer, and that's the team member designated to take a photo. We usually do that outside the office next to the flag or what have you. This time we might ask permission ahead of time if we can take a gallery screenshot on Zoom, for instance. And there's the observer. That might be a team member who's designated maybe not to have a speaking role and maybe to set aside any agenda outcomes and just listen for underlying needs. We focus on listening a lot. And if they hear something that's missing or sounds like a place to get more understanding, they might speak up and ask for clarification. You know, Member Jones, would you, you know, I didn't quite understand what you meant by that. Could you explain a little further? So that often brings a much deeper understanding of what the member might be trying to say. Brett?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Amy. I think what I'm going to do just before Amy jumps into a couple of other key considerations for how we plan our meeting is review two quick slides about what might be unique feeling for those especially that are used to our in-person meetings in DC for what we're gearing up for online. And so in 2020, planning for our, you know, online lobby days has already begun. And we're planning on connecting remotely with our members of Congress. And obviously, just like it is in person, online relationship building is going to be our foundation. And so a reminder for those that might be curious about dates, again, we're planning on targeting meeting the Senate on June 16th, the House on June 17th, and an alternate date, if either of you, those, you know, dates don't align with your member, it's going to be June 18th, the next day. We are reminding everyone that the appointments are going to be set by congressional liaisons or whoever they've designated if they're not able to this year. And so if you're not a liaison, the key thing to take away from tonight is not to try to set an appointment and to really find out how you can contact your liaison if you're curious or really hot to trot and motivated to get on that team. We can review that. But you're also encouraged to reach out to your state or regional coordinator, if you're not sure that there is a liaison for your district or you think you need more help. Amy is also making herself generously available. This is the time of year where her inbox every minute seems to double. It's like some kind of mitotic mitosis going on there that she can't somehow keep up with, but she does miraculously. So here's her email if you have any questions. And then we do also recommend that obviously as you're getting started, say that you've already done that, we really encourage you to reach out to your local CCL leaders, whether that's the liaison or your group leader, to start thinking through your lobby team and not only indicating your interests, but having input on what that meeting plan or your suggestions would look like. And then lastly, we do want to make sure that you're confirming and communicating pretty quick with the congressional office how they would like to plan to meet virtually, whether that's a phone conference, Zoom like this meeting is, or another preferred video conference platform. And that way you can all plan on really rehearsing and knowing that technology well in advance. So the other thing I did want to highlight really quick with just kind of some thoughts on assembling your team, we have a meeting template. It's been updated this year. You're welcome to use that. And I'll put a link to that in the chat. Your liaison's probably going to be the point on that as well. But the key thing that I wanted to highlight is that, again, this year is going to be a bit different. CCL headquarters is not creating lobby teams or sending out lobby meeting schedules like we would if we're going to DC. We're happy that we'll still be tracking appointment times, but your schedule and all that main communication is going to come directly from working with your local liaison and chapter leader. And the key thing that we want to recommend is that you take the time to practice as a team many times, you know, really as much as you feel like is possible to just feel most comfortable with that platform. This is already a stretch. I want to acknowledge, you know, for me, my first lobby meeting, as I'm sure for many of you on the line that have already been to one, it's an intimidating experience. And add to that, that now you're going to have to learn a new technology. We want to make sure that you feel just as set up as possible. And so that teamwork of really being able to learn together how to communicate digitally and not just be able to kind of see each other around an actual physical table is really what you're ultimately going to deliver for that meeting in June. And we do just want to emphasize that we trust your meeting team. You know what's best for your member of Congress, how to help them move forward, and really the best way to help strengthen that relationship. So with that, just really wanted to emphasize the importance of practice ahead of time. And field any questions that people might have connected to that here after I pass it back to you, Amy, to think through a couple of ways that you can also prepare for that meeting.
Well, thank you, Brett, for reviewing that. So just so you know, participate, you know, there is no need to sign up or register for the lobby days, but again, you're encouraged to register for the online want to talk to your local chapter leader or liaison if you want to participate in that meeting. Now, due to some limited space in things, not everyone might to participate. Most should expect to participate in one meeting. And for any questions regarding the 2020 June lobby days, you can email me. And then also I can connect you with your group leader or liaison if you're relatively with this, or your state coordinator if you're a person who's interested in attending a Senate meeting. So let's get into what we do to prepare for a meeting. So prior to the meeting, we research the member. It's great to script out what you think your member is thinking ahead of time. So before you head into the meeting with your team, it's a good idea to discuss the importance of letting the member or the staffer talk the most. Allowing them some silence is a good thing. Let them think. Let them organize their thoughts. So we often get really anxious and feel like we have a need to jump in for more information. But this is one of the important things to realize about meetings. I get really anxious in meetings myself, and it's like, oh, I can't wait to talk. But I just have to remind myself to listen. And also offer permission, CCL attendees around you, to redirect you if you happen to cut off a member with a counterpoint. Like, I like to give my co-team members permission by saying, hey, you guys, remember, let me know if I've cut them off. I will back off. And that's where it can be very handy to jump in and say, Congressman, I didn't quite understand what you meant about that. And it gives you a chance to go back and revisit and do some more listening. To give you an example of the research I was talking about and the planning, we're going to give you a explanation about what a particular representative, Representative McKinley, said at an actual Energy and Commerce meeting. This was fabulous to watch for me because it really enabled me to see what this guy was really thinking, because he was really giving a lot of feedback. And so this was incredibly helpful. When we're going to go through this meeting and we typed out the main points of the conversation, which are his bullet points on how he feels about working on climate solutions. So for your member, you could also create a little script of what you think the conversation go like. You think, how you think member would respond. Then we can start to point out, when we script that out, we can find those shared values. And we can acknowledge them. And then we end up being able to design better open-ended questions. So that's kind of what that research is allowing us to do, to understand the values of our member, understand what we think they're going to say, so that we can script out something in advance to acknowledge those shared values. It will allow you to practice and restate what you think your member heard, and again, confirm those common values before responding.
Mr. Powell, I'd like to have a conversation with you, or some interaction with my remarks here. I think we've heard on the panel so far, most Republicans and Democrats agree that there is the climate's changing, and that industrial activity is a major contributor to that. But I think the reinforcement is that we strongly disagree with solutions on how that might be. Would you agree that America acting alone is going to make a difference to the global environment?
It will not.
Thank you. Let me add to that. So I want to add that if anyone thinks that decarbonizing America is going to save the planet, whether that's 10 years or 20 years from now, they're delusional. Just 3 years ago, the EPA administrator said that, her quote was, American action alone will not make the difference needed to impact global climate change. The Cato Institute came out and said that decarbonizing the United States would lower the global temperature by just 1/10 of 1 degree Celsius by the year 2050. But without this global commitment that everyone seems to be ignoring, this is what we're having to deal with. Do we really think any of you on this panel, that if we decarbonize America, we will we won't be faced with severe weather, we won't have droughts, that the coastal communities won't be flooded. How can we say that without the rest of the world on board? Here's what's going on. A CRS has already published. This is what's going on, that China, from 2000 to 2016, China has increased its global emission, its emissions outside by 290%. India, 235%. And at the same time, America's reduced it by 16%. Are you familiar with the MIT report, their technology review report? That maybe you are. What that said was, and it was just a recent report that came out and said that unless India reduces its emissions, the result will be a climate catastrophe regardless of anything the United States does. I want to make sure we always keep this in context. We don't live in a vacuum. We don't live in a little microcosm here that the air of the United States is, if we can get it clean, we'll be fine. We involve from the globe on this. So we get down to what are our solutions or what are our options. And so if I could from you, you and I have had this conversation. It appears that most of the Democrats, on people on the other side of the aisle, are saying that they want to use a hammer approach. Let's put more regulations, cap and trade, carbon taxes, some kind of hammer approach. Isn't that what you're hearing as well, primarily, Mr. Powell, that it's a hammer approach to solve this problem rather than a carrot and an incentives for innovation? Because think if we could do the innovation that we started last year with 45Q, with 48A, we could go on with that. Look, we've already talked about the alum cycle, the net power plant, the turbine efficiency. Aren't those things going to be really the best solution rather than the hammer approach? Because I'm assuming you're aware of the hammer approach throughout Europe, France particularly lately, with the yellow vests. What happened there when they rejected that notion of the hammer approach? So if we could just continue this innovation, this effort for research, I think many of you have talked about the research concept. If we could do that, we could, America, use our science and technology that we've used to do space, medicine, healthcare, all, and implement a strategy. Wouldn't it be something that we then could export to the other nations so that, like Mr. Worthington was saying, a billion to a million, billion five that don't have energy, if we develop the technology to reduce emissions, we could sell that, export that technology and give them a chance for a better life? Wouldn't that make more sense than a hammer approach?
Yeah, we got a real snapshot into what he cares about. Those are all those bullet points. So now we know where he is. So let's build our bridges. And where can we education? It's important to plan, not to give too much information, but to build trust. Given the notes that we saw on the left-hand side of that, let's script a meeting. Let's go through our notes for appreciation for something about McKinley. Let's leave him wanting more information rather than overwhelming him. Even though these hearings are long, if your member is on a committee and questions, I think they call that person, someone asked in the chat, I believe it's a witness or a speaker in the hearing, it's really worth finding some of those snippets to get a real snapshot into the way your member of Congress feels, what are his values. So when we go ahead to plan what we're going to talk to him about, we want to make every single interaction, make him thirsty for more. We want to point out here that he gave us two good trusted sources of information, trust sources that he will go to. That's Cato and MIT. So it's easy for us also when we're scripting this out to ask a yes, no question. So let's ask open-ended questions, and we're going to go over that in the next slide. That gets the conversation going rather than stopping it with a yes, no. We want to give them time to think about things. So again, allowing a little bit of silence is good. Giving counterpoints can work for TV ratings, you know, like those cable networks, but it's not necessarily productive in meetings. So it's not that we want to create a debate, but we really want to get the second date. We want the point is to get them to express the benefits of the policy that we're supporting out loud, having them say it, having them own the thoughts, and then we can start identifying barriers to get them closer to being there. And the most effective way for them to change their minds is to get them to start saying positive things about aspects of the bill that we support, saying it out loud themselves. Even though it's not maybe supporting the whole thing, maybe parts of it. And it's important to do this and empower him and allow him to move forward. So let's plan out the meeting. Before we begin, Brett's going to walk us through about 5 steps that are helpful to balance listening with providing information. Brett?
Yeah, thanks so much. And I just want to share just real quick that this is a very information-dense training tonight. And so I see some people in their videos taking notes, and you're welcome to do that. You're also welcome to keep on referencing these slides for later and not feel like you have to remember every single thing. I mean, this is a very challenging member of Congress scenario we're throwing at you. This is a lot of suggestions all packed into the first half hour. So feel free to reference this later on too, and know that, you know, especially if you feel like all of this information might feel quite like an expansive amount to remember, this is all stuff that's going to be available for you after tonight as well. So check that out in the chat. And after this slide, we will also pause for questions and comprehension for a couple of minutes as well for our first Q&A break. But like Amy mentioned, I think the key thing that we wanted to highlight or really close this planning portion of tonight's training with is the importance of listening. Because we need to show up, and we might have all the information we want to share in the world, but we also need to do a really good job of building that connection and understanding where they're coming from too, in order to actually have a chance at moving them forward. So here's some thoughts on balanced listening. That first goal that Amy's highlighted is reflecting back a question or concern that you've heard them, you know, really express. So if you've done your research ahead of time, hearing your member in a committee hearing, something like this, you know, for this example, might be akin to saying, you know, I'm really glad to hear that you're thinking carefully about other countries' emissions. That was something that Representative McKinley tipped his hand. Or something like, it sounds to me like it matters to you that global emissions need to drive down, not just our own countries. So you can build on that. That second bullet then gets to this idea of listening for their response, not plowing immediately into your next hook, but really listening for where they might share something that you can agree on in their response then. So you can imagine McKinley might highlight something about the importance of innovation. So then you in return would be able to say, I agree with you. Again, recognizing that common ground and vocalizing it. We need to spur innovation. America, you know, he mentioned, was a leader in technology, space and medicine. So being able to highlight the importance of American leadership and that innovation is needed to help other countries being effective in reducing their emissions. That third point is just the important practice of asking permission to proceed. It's something that, at least for me, doesn't come naturally. And so it's a great practice to really build into your own conversations. And it can be a really simple keyed phrase, something like, may I tell you, or is it all right if I share with you what I've learned? Or, you know, I'd love to, you know, have a chance to highlight what I understand about this bill that makes me more comfortable with it. However you want to build that's natural, that's a really key area to practice for that listening approach. And if they agree, then that fourth bullet outlines really how to go into specifics and not to, again, snow them over with a lot of information. But again, just tailor your thoughts on one area that you want to key into. And then if they're resistant, you can fall back into rapport building. If they are supportive, you can really move forward and share your deeper perspective. So for this one, you know, Representative McKinley, again, really highlighted the importance of international relations. Or really, if we act but other countries don't, that putting us at a competitive disadvantage. So you might want to highlight the border carbon adjustment design about the bill, or really other big picture information about how our actions with this bill gets other countries involved. And then lastly, that key point that you also want to highlight is just following up with open questions so that anything that you've raised, you understand if they understand it or if they would like, you know, a little bit more clarification. So for example, if I've mentioned something about a border adjustment, you could again follow up after you share a little bit, you know, what are your thoughts about an adjustment that, you know, satisfying conservative concerns right now? Or do you think that would impact, you know, the design of a really strong policy on climate legislation? You could ask him, you know, if he has looked into how the WTO, the World Trade Organization, has thought to handle this issue he's identified. And that would, again, lead back to why our policy is a strong suit and, you know, how that really is something that's WTO compliant. So these are just some considerations, and I'll pass it to you, Amy, and we'll get us set up here to actually focus on a basic meeting outline and actually mock this out.
All right. Great, Brett. Well, one final slide to review before we get into the meeting. CCL's suggested meeting outline is pretty simple. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. So we're going to discuss each segment, and then we're going to pause in between and take your questions. So what we're going to do now is go into demonstrating an actual meeting. I'll narrate the demonstration. We'll stop at certain points, debrief just what happened. I'll play the meeting leader, who also happens to be constituent of Congressman McKinley, and Brett's going to play McKinley. What we'll do is we'll go through the beginning, the middle, and the end. And our meeting is with McKinley, who is from Wheeling, West Virginia's first congressional agenda. The agenda is going to be broad because it's our first meeting. We're really just beginning to establish that trust, to show respect and appreciation, feel each other out, get to know each other. And so you have to realize this is just the start of a long-term relationship. It's not a one-time event. So, of course, we want to advise them of our policy that we support and help them understand it, but we want to be prepared to just do a lot of listening and get to know the member. So here's the start of the role play, Brett. Hello, my name is Amy with Citizens Climate Lobby. We're a volunteer organization. Well, first of all, Congressman McKinley, we want to acknowledge how busy you are and how appreciative we are that you were able to carve out some time for us today.
Well, a pleasure to meet, Amy. It's great that you're engaged in the political process, and I know you came from our great mountain state to visit with me, and I'm glad to meet with you.
Thank you, Congressman. We know it's a busy day for you, so may I ask how much time you have for the meeting today?
Yeah, well, in spite of all of the challenges that we're facing with our COVID era, I have 20 minutes to give to you. So I look forward to being able to focus in on a short time together.
Okay. Well, you do a lot of walking in D.C., and I know you've got when your next meeting might be far away, so let me just get started. My name is Amy Bennett. I'm a constituent of yours living in Wheeling, and I'm a school teacher, and I'm here because I'm worried about the kind of world our kids that I teach will grow up in, and I want to do my part to make it as safe as possible.
Well, I definitely have a soft spot for kids, too. As you know, I worked for 14 years in West Virginia as state legislator fighting for school children and seniors, and I definitely believe the government should exercise its powers to look after our most vulnerable citizens. I also admire you devoting your life educating our kids. I know our federal government continues to screw this up by trying to impose its will on our local school districts, but that's another story.
Well, thank you for your kind words, Congressman. We'll like to start by telling you how much we admire your bipartisan work to introduce legislation with Congressman Schrader that reduces emissions in the power sector. And we also appreciate the work that you've done to protect minors and their pensions. And my family's been part of that proud tradition, and your work means that my elders will be looked out after they've all the hard work they've done.
Well, thank you for recognizing that, and it's obviously very important for me that all West Virginians know that if they work hard, they'll be able to retire comfortably.
That's fantastic. Since we have just a few minutes, let me briefly tell you about why we're here, and then we'd like to hear your thoughts on our policy. Our purpose is to create the political will for a livable world. Back home in Wheeling, we're working to create the political will we know that you'll need to support our policy. And over the past couple of months, we've gathered letters and postcards from your constituents and endorsements from community leaders in Wheeling. Here's a stack of 120 letters from your constituents and endorsement of our policy, the Energy Innovation Act, from the Regional Hospital in Central West Virginia. Our ask is for you to support a bipartisan bill that puts a steadily rising fee on fossil fuel emissions and returns the net revenues back to American households. It's good for people, the economy. It's effective at managing the risks we face in our, with our changing climate. And although seeing how this is our first meeting with you, how about if we start hearing your thoughts on climate and energy policy? So let's stop there. That's the introductory, the beginning. So we started by thanking him for the meeting, asked how much time he had, showed an appreciation. We delivered our purpose and our letters and our postcards, and then we presented our ask. That was pretty quick. So every meeting's a little bit different, so you do need to adapt and change with how things are going. For example, this might be your 10th meeting, so a formal introduction might not be necessary. Or maybe the member says they only have 10 minutes, so you've kind of got to figure out how to condense things pretty quickly and maybe have pre-prioritized what you could leave out. So we're demonstrating a suggested outline, but once the conversation starts, you kind of just need to read the room and be adaptive. And that's just really the ability to perceive and understand what's happening in the moment and kind of react and adapt as needed. So we just need to remain flexible and practice good listening. And I always have to remind myself to take deep breaths. So one thing we didn't do in that little example there was we didn't take the bait and go off topic. McKinley has some strong thoughts on the federal government's role in local education. So we stayed on the topic because we only have a few minutes with him. And we're also going to talk, we can talk about that in our handling difficult situations training. If that's something that you're interested in, Brett will put that in the chat. It's a great training on some of those kind of uncomfortable situations. Also, note that the ask is direct and clear and specific. Our primary ask will always be the same, to support HR 763. So it's not worth it to test the waters here. You want to get it out that this is CCL's primary ask, and to be sure they understand it's a carbon fee and dividend style proposal. The worst possible outcome would be that everybody leaves the meeting and the office didn't realize what we really support. So just put that primary ask in a brief moment at the beginning. And note how concisely I checked in with the office about the Energy Innovation Act. Even if it's your 10th meeting, you still want to do that. It's these members and their staffers have 10, 15 meetings a day. So you want to be sure you're on the same page on that. They're not thinking about cap and trade or something.
But with that, we'll actually go back to the middle section of our meeting here to stay on course. So Amy just asked about if I'd heard much about HR 763, and here we are jumping right in. Well, I can't say that I've actually heard much about the need to do something about this specific policy before, so, you know, catch me up. I know that the general mood in West Virginia is that we have a strong coal sector, and when it comes to energy policy, Amy, you can put me in the all of the above category. I do think and acknowledge that climate change is a problem, but I also acknowledge that America cannot do this alone. We have to get the rest of the world involved if we're to take action. And the people of West Virginia sent me here with a clear message. Stop the federal government's overreach. We do not like the hammer of regulation.
Great. Well, so what I'm hearing you say, just to clarify, is that both the economy and the environment are important to you. It's one or the other. Is that a fair assessment?
Of course. I mean, I get a lot of negative things said about me because I'm putting our country first, but this pure environmental agenda isn't good for business.
Well, we can certainly appreciate being unfairly labeled. I mean, CCL is often portrayed as being anti-business, but nothing could be further from the truth. We, like you, want the economy and the environment to flourish. Have you been briefed on the Energy Innovation Act legislation?
Well, I know that my aide has reviewed it in detail, Amy, but why don't you tell me a little bit more about it right here as we're meeting right now?
Okay, so this is where I would explain the bill, how the carbon fee increases and such. So I'm not going to take a lot of time with doing it, but I definitely would take a moment to explain it to him.
Well, great. So let me be clear that I agree regulations kill jobs in West Virginia. And for what? We impose additional cost on hardworking Americans struggling right now in the COVID response. And I don't see how these rules will stop global warming. If we, as our country, lower emissions, it's not going to solve the problem. You'd have to be delusional to think that would stop floods or droughts.
Well, actually, the United States is in a position to lead the world. You know what? I'm sorry. Let me get back and let me just step back a moment. Let me go back and make sure I understand your question. You're concerned about the economic effect locally of what might happen if the United States takes action without other large emitters following. Is that right?
Yes, I am. We don't live in a vacuum. We know that China and India's emissions went up by drastic more percentages while ours went down the last two decades. And unless India reduces emissions, you know, we can expect major climate change regardless of our action.
Well, I'm glad you're thinking carefully about other countries' emissions. It sounds like it matters to you to drive global emissions down. When I first became concerned about the climate, I struggled with that as well. May I tell you what I found out about the carbon border adjustment aspect of our proposal that might put you at ease?
Sure, put me at ease too.
Well, Congressman McKinley, knowing your economic background, I think you'll appreciate what we've learned. The Energy Innovation Act includes a carbon border adjustment that our legal experts assure us would comply with our World Trade Organization's international trade commitments. It would impose a tariff on other countries that don't have a similar carbon fee in their country to ensure protecting our domestic manufacturing. This adjustment incentivizes these other countries with dirtier energy mixes to clean up their own air by charging a fee that they in turn would lower their emissions. What are your thoughts about a carbon border adjustment satisfying your concerns?
You know, any policy that we'd actually implement on this level would need to be rock solid in getting other countries to the table to actually clean up their own act. Now tell me, how does that work?
Okay, so let's pause here. And I could go into more of the details, but I want, again, to recap this middle part. First off, did you notice when I caught ahead of myself? It's important to be okay with that and recognize it and take a step back. One of the goals we have tonight with you is to help you feel ready and comfortable with pulling yourself back, because this can happen a lot. And how would you handle it if somebody else is kind of getting too excited? Like I said, in a virtual meeting, you can't actually kick them under the table and say, hey, let's move back. So it's important to practice on your practice Zoom calls or however you practice to figure out a tactful way of maybe jumping in and saying, hey, let's take a step back. I actually missed what the congressman said about that. Something along those lines. For example, hey, Brett, I think it's important that Congressman McKinley clarifies his thoughts before we go any further. Is that okay with you? It's good to practice this ahead of time with your team. Now, notice what we didn't do here. We didn't correct him or take him to task for any of his positions on climate or any other statements. It's obvious that we see things differently. But let's not start off with something that puts us into a situation where one of us has to be right and the other has to be wrong. We don't want to go down that road. So instead, it kind of makes more sense to listen and ask additional questions so that we can start to find that common ground we were talking about and build up the relationship from there. Find out and comment on things that we have in common. Notice how many questions that we asked. What we're trying to do here is to draw out more information so we can discover where we have that common ground, and we can also discover misconceptions that the congressman might have. Notice how we ask permission to proceed. Would you like to take a look at that now? Would you like to hear what we found? Those kind of questions. So we're trying to find a bridge so that we can find a way forward that works for the congressman. And it's clear, he doesn't see the urgency right now of global warming to the degree that we do. He's already revealed to us how he feels. So we move on to find more common ground. It's also evident from the responses that my explanation of the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act and in my next question, that McKinley is fixated on the fact that America's actions alone are insufficient. Rather than diving into that, I explained how we can get other countries to lower their emissions. So again, I didn't want to put him in a situation where he's a loser for not listening or understanding, but rather restating his statements that enable him to open up and listen further. So keep in mind, this may not be a meeting where we try to change his mind, but we just focus on building trust and show our listening skills. Each meeting is going to be unique. After your first meeting with the office, you'll often have, you know, a specific agenda or points to cover from previous meetings. Or in your next meeting, you're going to say, hey, let's not cover that today. We'll cover that on our next meeting. But don't be afraid to say, you know what? That's a really important issue you raise, and I'd like to gather some more information for you. We can talk about what a transition to a clean energy economy would look like with Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. Could we discuss that in our next meeting? So it's always great to have an excuse for a next meeting.
Yeah, let's jump in here. I know we've got about 5 minutes left, and then Amy and I are happy to stick on for questions, even though I know we'll be at the top of the hour, but let's at least wrap up our role play here and our time frame that we said we would. All right, so thanks for being patient, and keep on putting those questions in the chat, and let's resume our scenario for the final wrap-up.
Well, let's demonstrate how to wrap up a meeting. The meeting can come to an end in a few ways. Either the time monitor notices that there's 5 minutes left and lets us know, or begin picking up visual body language or cues that the meeting is over. Obviously, a little harder to do in a virtual meeting, but you might notice that the member's distracted, looking at his watch, something like that. So when you get any of those cues, either 5 minutes left or you're just noticing they're not as engaged, you don't want to try to squeeze in more discussion. There's going to be another meeting. Part of the follow-up will include asking whether or not they'd be open to another meeting. We could ask something like, could we ask in our next meeting that we could discuss your concerns about the Energy Innovation Act and the effects on small businesses and the effect on regulations? We've had several studies we'd love to share with you that you might find valuable. Would you be interested in how this bill affects your districts by income quintile? We also have information on that. This way, we start to show that we can be a resource to the office by bringing data in the future. So let's resume that scenario. Congressman, I see that we're nearing the end of our time with you. In working together, it's important for us to understand what next steps you would like our local group to take. Who in the district and what actions can we take that would make it easier to gain your support for the bill? Reminding you that this bill would put a fee on carbon and returns the proceeds to American households. Who could we talk to in the district?
Well, I think it's a novel approach you have, especially that border adjustment. But as you can imagine, I do have some reservations. I would like to find out a lot more about how this actually affects the pocketbooks of West Virginians.
I understand. Well, this is our first meeting, after all. We have a case study called the Household Impact Study, and it has data for West Virginia's 1st District. We'll be sure to send it so that you can see how the dividend would affect residents in the various income levels in the district. We'd be delighted to sit down with your staff and review those details and discuss the Innovation Act and answer any questions that you might have. We'd love to see what's preventing you from potentially co-sponsoring our bill. Also, is there anyone in the district whose support is important to you that we might speak with?
Well, I'd be delighted to have you speak with my staff. It seems like you've got the easier task. If you're going to speak with folks back home, then I might recommend you speak with Mayor Lean. Being a former utility CEO, he's somebody that I listen to regarding energy issues.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for that recommendation. Like we said earlier, we're trying to make it easier for you to support our policy. So we'll make an appointment to see the mayor. And I'm going to leave this one-page ask with you. How would you like me to follow up with additional materials in the future?
Well, in this COVID era, I presume digitally, Amy. You can follow up with Joanna through email.
Congressman, one last thing before we leave. Would you mind telling us with whom you enjoy working on the other side of the aisle?
Well, as you know, there are a lot of ill feelings around here right now, but I do work across the aisle on many topics.
Oh, that must be frustrating. But is there anyone that you've gotten to know a little bit?
Well, as you highlighted, Representative Schroeder out of the Pacific Northwest has been a wonderful partner on some bipartisan packages we put together.
Great, good. Well, okay, so that's the end of our demonstration for that initial meeting. Let's switch gears to discuss one final consideration and then take some time for questions. So after the meeting, you want to review the notes. We usually, when we're in DC, we walk down the hall and review them, but this might be on a separate Zoom call right afterwards. You know, close the call up and call the people on your team. And then be sure you assign someone to submit those minutes online and that the meeting leader knows who that person is, so we know to find them. And then confirm who can do the follow-up and send the thank you note. And for any of you on the line, this might be your first meeting. So as a result, it's really normal to feel like, oh my gosh, I would be so nervous, or can I do this? So it's just really important to acknowledge that and just move through it, because you have just as much right as anyone, any one of the constituents in your district, and your voice matters. So in order to help alleviate those feelings, keep in mind, you know, another meeting element is in play. That is that we're in the relationship business, and that's one of our strengths. So just never underestimate the power of just injecting fun and some of your personality into a meeting. So, you know, if you're a little bit nervous, ask, you know, ask the staffer. If you find out they grew up on a cattle ranch, ask if he knows how to wrangle cattle. If your MOC went to a rival school, then bring it up in a jovial way. Another thing you can do is ask them about the pictures or displays in their office. They're usually things that they're very proud of. And if you're on a Zoom call, you can see them in the background. I don't know if you noticed on our Saturday call, everybody asked about the baseball bat on the wall behind our speaker. So if this is your first meeting with a staffer, find out a little bit more about them. And those are the kind of personal things that, you know, make everybody's shoulders relax a little bit. Back to you, Brett.
And just close by thanking you. You are the cavalry that Marshall envisioned charging and helping advance this issue and really being able to effectively respond. We really hope that you found tonight's training useful and empowering, and we're here for you. So between now and June, let us know what we can do to speak to any other questions you've got. And with that, I'm just going to put a link to Amy and Mai's contact information, and I've already put where you can find the training. By tomorrow night, we'll update it with tonight's recording. Matt, I'm going to unmute all lines, and we'll see you soon. Thank you, my friends.
Thanks, Brett. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
Nice to see you, Cheryl.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.